Today's daf is daf kuf ayin aleph as we round the bend towards the end of the 10th parak and the end of Masechet Baba Batra. We're in the middle of discussing what the halacha is in terms of witnesses' ability to be able to write a second shtar, which would create a lien for a guy. And that we saw was a machlokes in which Rav went against Boshitas in the Mishnah yesterday, and we're going to be discussing this Mishnah again in the question of whether Kotvim Shover or not between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not write a Shover, and if you want to pay up partially, then the shtar has to be reissued, and only then do you pay your money. But the guy can't tell you, well, you keep a copy of a receipt, because a receipt is something that can be lost, and then the guy could be toveh you again. According to Rabbi Yossi, we say eved lovela ish malveh, and it's the borrower's responsibility to make sure that he keeps the receipt. Now, Rav disagreed l'chora with bo shitot, because Rav said, although Rabbi Yehuda is claiming that you could simply be machlif, meaning without going to Beit Din, I'm telling you that you can only be machlif in Beit Din, because only a Beit Din has the ability to recreate a lien. The most that Adim have the ability to do is to inform us of the events, but that's insufficient to be able to collect from a property that was meshuvbad to somebody else over here because it was sold to him after the time of the loan. So if you want to recreate the original lien and that way not lose your rights of collection against nechasim meshuvbadim, the only way to do so is to have the Beis Din reissue a lien document, which, I mean, lemaisa looks like the original shtar except to the lesser amount, but in effect is a brand new thing. It looks the same, smells the same, and sounds the same, but it's not the same. It's a new magical document that's based on the keach of hefker Beis Din hefker that takes the form of a shtar, but in reality cannot be done by anyone except by the Beis Din itself. Why is this? Because once the Eidim have used their power of recording the event in a shtar, that's all that they can do. They can't do it again. Says the Gemara today, on the third line, velo, they can't do it again. This is what Rav is saying, and that Rav therefore holds you can only go into Beis Din to reissue a lien. But Rav Yehuda quotes Rav himself as saying, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, Eidim kotvim afilo asar ashtarot al sada achat. How do you explain that? This is, I mean, you can't get a bigger contradiction than that in Rav. Here on the one hand, Rav is saying, let the Eidim write 10 copies. What's the problem? And here, Rav is saying, even in a partial payment, there's nothing to do. You're going to have to go into Beis Din and reissue the lien document. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, obviously there's got to be two different cases over here. So Rabbi Yosef says, look, that's talking about a shtar matana. Since a shtar matana, you're giving somebody a gift. So generally, you don't guarantee a gift. I mean, after all, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. So Mamela, if it turns out not to be the right age, what's the big deal? At least you got a horse. So the same thing is true over here. You got yourself a property. Why would the guy give you a guarantee? Since there's no guarantee, so then and of course we'd have to say we don't hold it otiot niknot b'mesirah to get into the other issue that maybe you returned it. The guy will claim you returned it. So mamela, there's nothing that could go wrong. All you're doing is issuing yet another proof that this indeed was my property given to me by the kind benefactor, Mr. Ploni. And therefore, Rav wasn't referring to a problem in that case, because there's no way it can be used for collection. But what Rav did hold was a problem, was reissuing a loan document. That, of course, is a problem. So how would you be able to have Adim now signing on a new lien that doesn't exist, which they do not have any power to create? That, so as Rav, has to be done in Beit Din. No problem in the two piske halachas of Rav. But Rav Amar, Rabbi says, look, I mean, this could be extended even to a sale document, because you could write 10 of those too, as long as they are written, as we said before, with the language of the shtara denante katfua lola migvebe, etc., etc. All of this was written with the sole power legally to establish the initial ownership and contains no guarantees or insurance of any kind. Fine, if you write that, we also don't have objection, as we said before. But if you're talking about a case in a Mishnah where you're trying to issue a shtar that will reestablish a lien in order to cover a partial payment of a loan, if you hold that the Ein Kotvim Shover, that Rav said there's nothing to do. You can't do that with Eidim. So now everything is fine. We seem to have covered all of our bases. There's no way in which anyone can be cheated by these issuances of copies, and we have everything in place. We know exactly what language we have to use. Now, we said yesterday, if you recall, that had Rav heard the Braita, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba to Rav Huna, he never would have made a big deal about arguing with Rav Yehuda. He misunderstood life. He thought that what Rabbi Yehuda was saying was that you would only issue a document from the later date at the time that the repayment of the partial repayment was made. And that, Rav says, that's terrible, because then you're going to lose half of the loans. There's not going to be any ability to collect from the time that he sold all of his other properties, because you're left with this weak document that allows you to take only the chasim that have been echorin. Therefore, I say, no, you have to write it from this Zman HaRishon. That's where Yirmiyahu bar Abba thought. Tells Rav Huna to him. So therefore, if you would have heard the Braita that Rabbi Yehuda himself says that they reissued the document from the original date, and therefore they have a lien from the time of the original loan, he never would have argued. Says Rav Huna, absolutely would have argued. He always understood that Rabbi Yehuda wanted to have it issued from the original date. The only thing is, he said it's not going to help to reissue it from the original date unless you go through a court. So that we need to have this new koyach of Beis Din to recreate, not to actually to create out of whole cloth a lien that should be there but isn't there anymore. So Mimela, he argued anyway, but meanwhile, what's interesting is we don't really know what that Braita was talking about. All we quoted was that one line that Rabbi Yehuda said that reissued the document from the time of the original event. Okay, but now we've brought up all kinds of issues. In other words, now we know that we have possibilities of reissuing Shtari Matona, reissuing Shtari Mecher, as long as they are without any guarantee and they indicate that it's only for bringing proof of ownership. Reissuing under certain circumstances, even a loan document. What was the case over there? I mean, it'd be nice to have some extra data over here. What was the case in the Braita? Tell me the details of the Braita. The Tanya. Okay, let's take a look at what the Braita said in full that we quoted yesterday and see whether we can glean some more information. The Tanya. Areshaya noshinbo elevzus. So let's say a guy had $1,000 debt against him, of which he paid $500. Uparamiyam chamesh miyadzus. What we do is that the witnesses tear up the shtar. That's all, of course, a little bit of Rav Yehuda, who says that we do not write a shofar. So the witnesses tear up the shtar and rewrite a shtar mizman harishon. Devar Rav Yehuda. So this is what Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said yesterday. You see, Rav Yehuda himself, of course, understood that you need to reissue it from the time of the original lien, because otherwise the guy's going to lose most of his power here. He's going to be stuck with only the guy's bank account. So if he's not liquid, he's never going to get his money. Says now, Rabbi Yossi, no. That doesn't make any sense. The shtar should be left alone. Shtar zeh yimunach b'mekomo. And what we do is we issue a receipt. And I'll tell you, there's two reasons why we should issue a receipt and not do it your way. First of all, believe me, there's nothing like the foxhole to bring out belief in God. I mean, the guy's got this contract for him that's on him for an extra $1 million. And he's thinking to himself, if anything happens to this receipt, oh my God. Let's just finish this loan up once and for all. Let me get that contract away from the guy. Okay, so this is very, very good for the lender. It serves to marvelously increase his desire to repay the loan. That's number one. And we are in favor, as we said yesterday, of pressuring people from the point of view of the lender because of Eved Lovela Ishmael Ve'er, Shlomo HaMelech put it, and it's only fair that if a guy takes a loan, he should feel a little bit of the pressure. Well, we're going to make the other guy suffer by rewriting the shtar and losing the psychological pressure. That's number one, okay? The second reason is that if you don't and you end up rewriting the shtar, then you're going to have to cause the guy to lose his ability to collect for the chasim mishu'abadim, because it's going to be written from the new date. So va'achad kedei sheyigveh mizman harishon. Now this is weird because Rabbi Yehuda that he's arguing on just said beferish that we do write it mizman harishon, the new contract. So what's Rabbi Yosef saying? Oh well, if we do it Rabbi Yehuda's way, we're going to end up losing the ability to collect from the original date, and therefore it's terribly unfair. When Rabbi Yehuda says that, no, of course we don't do that. Well, Rabbi Yehuda nami mizman rishon kaman. I don't get it. Well, Rabbi Yossi did. Rabbi Yossi couldn't read. No, how come Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, look, we can read because we have the Braita now in its finished form, which said beferish. That's what Yirmi Bar Abba was pointing out. Rav apparently understood Rabbi Yehuda the way Rabbi Yossi understood Rabbi Yehuda, that he meant, but he was taking for granted that Adam can't do that. So what must Rabbi Yehuda be saying? That they're only going to reissue a contract from the new date. Oh, says Rabbi Yossi, that's terrible. Says Rav, no, the halakha is not like Rabbi Yossi, that we were going to write a shover. Not like Rabbi Yehuda, we rely on the Adam, in which case it can only be done from the new date. But rather, we'll do it my way. What we'll do is we'll go into Bezdin, have them recreate a lien, Bekeach Hefker, Bezdin Hefker, and then put that into the form of a shtar, which is really a new creation by the court that pretends to be a shtar. Problem is that the Braita did say that. So it's clear that the machloket at the time between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda did not state 100% what Rabbi Yehuda just said. We'll reissue the shtar. Rabbi Yossi, who hears Rabbi Yehuda saying that, says, you know, he might mean that since it's Adam that are doing it, maybe he understands that Adam can't do that. It therefore would have to be mizman of the repayment. That would be terribly unfair. He might hold that we write it out for mizman harishon, which we know that is what he holds. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi goes at him in two ways. He says to him, look, I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but whatever you're trying to say, it's wrong. So, imizman harishon ka'am. I mean, if what you're saying is that the Adam should reissue the contract from the first date, so then, okay, at least you're covering that issue. Fine, but then you're still paligna alach b'choda. I mean, I'm still absolutely disagree with you, because I hold that it's only fair that the pressure be on the borrower, not on the lender. So that's my objection, and therefore I say, let's go with the shover idea better. If you hold even worse, that you're saying mizman sheni ka'amr, then I think you're completely off the wall. I mean, then paligna alach b'tarta, and then I say, I don't understand you. Not only are you taking the heat off of the borrower, but you're also putting the lender in a position that he's going to be unable to collect from the chasim mishubanim mizman harishon. That's crazy.
It comes out according to the one that the tzaddik figured out the father, that Rabbi Yossi is minded that you could create the lien, the Adam could recreate the lien.
That's correct. That's correct. The way the Gemara is saying it now, that's correct. It's not muchrach in Rabbi Yossi.
Right.
We're saying even if, Lamaise's Rav seems to be saying, I don't agree with the either approach. We don't know what that means. Rav doesn't agree with either approach in terms of katvin and shover. I don't care what Rabbi Yossi holds about the shaila of whether you could recreate a lien, which we're going to see very soon what he holds. And, or whether he's really, you know, arguing only about this part. So Tan Rabbana. Yeah, here we have an interesting case. We've got a shtar, Shezmano Katuv Bishabbat, or Basara B'Tishrei. Now this is weird. Now, of course, this was I don't know whether this is still an issue. Maybe Abba can tell us after he finishes his mantras. What is the din of a check that is written on a non-banking day? It used to be if a check was dated on Sunday, the check was possible. I don't think that's true anymore. But since the blue laws are no longer in effect, but it used to be you could not write a check on Shabbos. No, Lavda. Right? So if it was dated on Sunday, the bank would say, this is not a kosher check. Suppose you have a contract, which, the way the Rashbam learns it, the contract is dated in the civil dates. The contract says February the 7th. Well, Yom Kippur doesn't generally come out of February. But let's say February 7th. We take a look and we see February 7th. That was a Shabbos. You mean to tell me they wrote a shtar on Shabbos? That's crazy. Of course they didn't write a shtar on Shabbos. They probably picked a date, not realizing that it was a Shabbos, which they never would have written. And what they were really trying to do was arrange that the date that appears on the shtar should be a later date. So they had, what happened was, probably the guy wanted to sell a field, and the buyer didn't want to buy the field if there were any liens on it. And Lamaise, this guy had plenty of other property to collect from. So he asked the lender, he says, look, I need a loan, and here, you know, there's property to protect you, but I need to sell a piece of property. If the shtar is dated today, the guy's going to say, I don't buy properties with liens against them. So, you know, let's just date it. We'll post-date it. If we'll post-date it, it's not a problem, right? We can't predate it. If we predate it, then we're going to create a loan earlier. But if we date it later, so who's it going to hurt? It's going to hurt you because you won't be able to collect the property that I sell. I'm going to sell a property this week. Do you mind or is it okay? He says, yeah, I don't care. Pick a date. It's February 7th. Okay, fine. February 7th. Now, they didn't even realize February 7th, that's a Shabbos. Boy, what are they going to think about us? Oh, my God. It's embarrassing. Okay, fine. So the Bez didn't realize this since it's dated February 7th. It must be that that's what happened. Because they don't suspect that they made an illegal kanunyan and had witnesses sign on a predated shtar, which would have been illegal. And so it was probably kosher. Post-dated shtar, we have no reason to worry about it. Or maybe the date that they picked came out on Yom Kippur. That's really embarrassing. I mean, oh my gosh. All right, but they picked the date. Fine. So now, we come now in the Beis Din, and we have this shtar that comes out on a Shabbos, on a Yom Kippur. We assume that it's a shtar mu'uchar, and it's kosher. The Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no. You, that's possible. You can't have a shtar like that. Oh, my little Rabbi, what are you talking about? You can't have a shtar like that? You yourself had a case like that. And you said it was kosher. V'lo ma'aseh balefanecha, b'tzipori, in Barnea's neighborhood. Barnea wanted to tell us something about that. Yes, Barnea. Wow.
Rabbi Yossi holds Ezu, he was the rabbi of the city. He holds Ezu Usher, the person who has his bathroom next to the dining room. And in the grand mansion at the top of the hill, the hygiene place is exactly next to the dining room. So it was an usher, according to Rabbi Yossi.
Excellent. It's always good to visit Tzipori when we mention Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, so as Rabbi Yossi left his mansion, went into his Beis Din, and enjoyed his new bathroom, he comes into the Beis Din, and there comes this Maisa. And it was this case. The shtar was dated on Yom Kippur, and you said, oh, that's fine. V'ichsharta, you said it's fine. Amar lo, well, of course, kichsharti, b'zeh kichsharti. That's the case I said was kosher. What? That's the case I said is kosher. You're driving me crazy. A Rabbi Yonanani b'zeh kamar. What's going on here? Amar Rabbi Pedas, let's not lose track of what happened. There's two separate issues here that we have to understand. There's a general question. Let's take the first issue. Do we assume that this is an illegal shtar with a kanunya that Adam signed as a predated shtar? No, nobody holds that. That's not the issue. That's item one. Item two, when a shtar is dated in this fashion that turns out to be on Yom Kippur, do we recognize that it was a post-dated shtar? Yes. We're all agreed that we recognize it's a post-dated shtar. Okay. In this case, we're all agreed. But what about a shtar that we cannot know is a post-dated shtar? Now, what are you going to do about that? Any day that this shtar is presented to Beis Din, at any time, we know that it was post-dated. Because the shtar could not have been written out for Yom Kippur. The only explanation is that they chose a date in order to post-date, right? Therefore, no harm can accrue to anybody. But suppose we have no way of knowing that a shtar is a post-dated shtar. That's, I'm telling you, you say, but you also, in this case, I agree with you, yes. But that's because it's obvious that this is a post-dated shtar. It might as well have a neon light blinking on it, post-dated. So over there, no harm can come to anybody. But you're making a general rule. What you're saying is, a post-dated shtar is kosher. I'm telling you, no, absolutely not. A post-dated shtar is not kosher. Unless it has a neon light blinking that it's post-dated. Why? Because, remember that my shita is, we provide a receipt for partial payment. Your shita is, we recreate the original shtar, right? But with half the amount. Now, let's imagine it in my world. What happens? Guy postdates a shtar, and it's not evidently postdated. He simply writes a real date on a Thursday a month later. Now, during the course of that month, and remember, the guy agreed, the lender agreed, he wants to allow the person to sell the property, and everything is fine. During that month, the borrower ends up selling something that gives him cash, takes the cash, and pays the guy back his loan. And says, pays the guy back his loan, and says to give me the contract. The guy says, I don't have a contract. I lost it, but I'm happy to give you a receipt. My shita is, you have to accept the receipt, right? Because I hold katvina and shover. Okay. The guy writes a receipt. Now, the receipt, of course, is dated for 7 days after the original loan. But the loan was dated a month after the original loan. Suddenly, magically, on the day that the loan is actually made, he refines his contract. Imagine that. He now comes to court and says, well, this guy owes me money. Guy says, what are you, crazy? I have a receipt. I paid you back. Let me see that receipt. This receipt is dated 3 weeks before I made the loan. Silly, that was the other loan I made you. So now, according to me, any post-dated contract is going to create a horrific situation. And therefore, you can't have it unless it's a case like this. Yes, it's dated on Yom Kippur. The court's going to take a look at that. When did September 12th come out? Yom Kippur. Oh, come on, it couldn't have been written on Yom Kippur. It must have been post-dated. There's something screwy over here. If this guy's claiming that he had already paid and that, you know what? We can't use this contract to collect from him because obviously the date that appears in it is not the real date. So then, I'm telling you, says Rabbi Yossi, yes, if the contract shouts to me that it's a contract that isn't an accurate date, there's no problem because the court won't use it to collect against the guy who's got a shofar. But if it doesn't shout out, what's going to protect the guy who's holding the shofar? Yes, Abba.
Why don't we say it's a predated check?
We don't say it's a predated check for a number of reasons. First of all, Edim don't sign illegally. Secondly, in the same way that we don't suspect, let's say when we come into a court and we have Edim that stand up to cross-examination, we do not say, okay, but we can't accept their Edim because maybe they're lying, right? So too, Mitzad HaDin, if it wouldn't be for the fact that the Rabbonim were Machayev us to use a henpeck to make sure that the Edim have signed it, so on its own, Mitzad HaDin, a shtar is considered to be commission echkarei dutan bebeitin. It's as if it already went through a cross-examination. Otherwise, we can't use shtarot, they're useless. In which case, the shtar as presented to us is the equivalent of having passed through the courts. Because if not, we don't have a shtar. And therefore, okay, the rabbanim can be machmer a little bit to demand a graphological test or further corroboration, but we're never going to say that there's something that is, by definition, screwy about this shtar. So if we find something screwy, our understanding is that it was perfectly legal. I just explained why.
I understand.
Yeah, post-dated is perfectly acceptable because it hurts only one person, the lender, and the lender is the one who wrote the shtar. So, you know, if he wants to do that, that's fine. We don't even care. He may even be without aliens chasing him.
What would indicate that it was post-dated?
The fact that it says it's Yom Kippur.
We'll
see. Okay, but so far we don't have an indication it's post-dated, which is the very reason Rabbi Yossi says, look, we can't have shtarot like that running around. So there, let's see this inside now. Amar Rav Patata, you don't understand what's happening. Everybody, of course, agrees. Akomodim, she'im huskaknu lo'onoto shel shtar. If we needed to look at that date to figure out what day it is, in other words, it was written with the civil dating, without mentioning what day of the week it's on. And we figure out, oh my God, that turns out to be Yom Kippur. So then that means that the Beis Din Bedafka needs to look into it, find out that it's an impossible date. So in such a case, that if it's Onaz, Bechuvenet on Shabbos, or Asara B'Teves, then Rabbi Yossi has also made it, that it's a Shtar Mulcharu, and it's kosher, it's not a problem. The only problem when Rabbi Yossi says, but I don't agree with you. He didn't mean I don't agree with you about this case. That's what he's saying. I said this case. But we're talking about the theory, the principle of a shtar mukhar. That I disagree with you on. So, nechlukal of a shtar mukhar, but alma, standard shtar mukhar, that has no indication in it that it is a shtar mukhar. So over there, it all works out very well. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not ever going to have a case where a guy will pay when somebody else has a shtar in his hand because he owes Ein Kotvim Shofar. So what's the problem? What could possibly go wrong? You want to collect half? Let me see the shtar. We'll rewrite it. So there's no way that the guy can ever now come back at him using a shtar. So there's nothing wrong that could possibly accrue. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, why not write a shtar mulchar? Who cares? But Rabbi Yossi, l'shitato, diyama kotvim shover, so according to that, there's going to be a disaster. Nafik minei churva. That's going to be very destructive. Omer Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua, you know, I want to tell you something else. That afil aman diyama kotvim shover. Look, you know, you made this into a general machlokes. According to Rabbi Yossi, you write a shover. It's not that simple. You don't write a shover in every case. You only write a shover as an alternative to rewriting the shtar with this whole complex problem of going into Beis Din, like Rav says, and so on. That's the only time you write a shover. But if a guy wants to pay back the whole debt, he has every right, even on Libet Rabbi Yossi, to say, look, either give me the shtar or you don't get anything. I'm not going to keep a shover. If you can't be serious enough to keep your own shtar, you were mafsid yourself. I'm not going to pay. Rabbi Yossi was only mechayvi to accept a shofar where you, the borrower, saying, you know, I can't afford to pay you now. Well, you can't afford to pay me now, then you're going to have to sit with a shofar if you can only pay me half. So you take the shofar. I'm certainly not going to go now and have less of a power than I had before. That's outrageous. That's the machlokas, but there we say, Eved lo veli shmalve. But when it comes to straight out repayment of a loan, why would Rabbi Yossi have said that you have to accept the shofar instead of demanding the loan? This is what Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua says. Says the Gemara, but that's not true. That is certainly not true. Velohi. I'm telling you that's a mistake. Ela afilu akule katvina. No, I'll show it to you. You would, according to Rabbi Yossi, have to accept the shofar even where the guy says, look, I can't bring you the shtar, I lost the shtar. And it's an actual case. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef amaspe zuzi b'Rabbi Abba. So he wanted to collect, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef wanted to collect from Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba refused to pay him. He goes to Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. So he says to Rabbi Abba, where's my money? He says, I'm ready to pay you. As soon as you give me that shtar, you get the money. So havli shtaroi, give me that shtar against me, and here's the money. I'm keeping it right here. But don't tell me, I'm really, look, what am I supposed to do? Shtar ha'irka. See, I lost the shtar. But I'm happy to write you a receipt. Echtov l'chatav. Now, all of this is taking place, the argument's taking place in front of the judge, right? So Rabbi Chanina bar Papa is listening into this. They're fighting with each other. It's always a problem having two lawyers, and you know, so here there's two Tamei Chachamim fighting with each other. So now he says to him, no way that I'm going to accept a shover, because Rav Shmuel da Amrei Tavayo ain't kotvim shover, and I don't have to accept your shover, and therefore I'm not paying you. You go back and find your star, or else you eat it. Oi, says the judge, Rav Chanina bar Papa, man yoivlan mi afrei da Rav Shmuel raminam be'inayin. Look, I'm unfortunately going to have to rule against Rav Shmuel, but you should know I respect them very much. I mean, if I could fill my eyes with the dust of the bodies of Rav and Shmuel so that I should be wise, I would. But you know how it goes. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both disagree with Rav and Shmuel, and we've got to go according to their opinion. The Amrei Tavayo, we do write a shofar, and therefore, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to accept the shover and pay him his money. V'chein kiyata ravin amar biloy, kodvim shover. And this, of course, is talking about a standard case. He's ready to pay back the whole loan. It wasn't talking about partial payments. So it's obvious that what Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua said is wrong. I mean, in practical terms, the din of Rabbi Yossi kodvim shover is across the board. And the truth is, look, I mean, what really now? Mistabra, I mean, isn't it reasonable that we write receipts? Do you really believe that we should allow people to keep the $1 million that was lent them, that they admit was lent them? They say, well, I can't pay you without a contract. Party time, boys! Because Isaac Beter ain't go to him shover, Ovach Torja Yochal Halavachari. So this guy makes a party, huh? Wow, he lost his star. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I'm really sorry. I would love to pay you, but, you know, there's really nothing I can do. Would you like to join a party? So, you know, that's crazy. I mean, it's just not serious to say such things. Matkifla Abaye. Says Abaye, I don't get it. Somebody's going to be making a party here. I mean, Elamai Kotvim Shovers. You're saying we force the guy to take a shover. And then what happens if the shover is lost? So then Mr. Lender, who's been keeping his star back for the very day where the shover will be lost, now he makes a party. So no matter how you look at it, somebody's going to be making a party. So if partying is the issue, I mean, we may as well ziyokal halavachadi. So it's just a question, who's going to do the inviting? Amalei Rava, no, I'm taking that into consideration. Of course, of course. Because what are you saying? What's the difference? Somebody's going to party. Who should be partying? Eved lo veli yishmaveh. I mean, that was the whole point of Rabbi Yossi. Look, you went ahead, you borrowed money. So you're going to say, well, man, what are we going to allow things to evolve in such a way that the lender is going to party? No, so you should be the one that parties. The borrower should party. Of course the lender should party. I mean, if somebody's got to take a risk over here, it sure ain't going to be the lender. So we're going to, in the end, we're going to have to give him some means of collecting his money. I mean, to leave him without recourse because there's a fire or something is nuts. And of course, ultimately, when we say these dinim, it always takes into consideration the final impact on the market. Remember that in the end, if people really can't collect their loans because of, so then you're going to really cut down on lending an awful lot, and we don't want to cut down on lending because we're very firm capitalists, and therefore there's no choice. Of course, it's only reasonable that we should allow a guy to issue a receipt. Tan Hatam. Now, in the famous mission we've had from Shvius a number of times, Shtari Chova Mugdamim Psulim Ve'amu Ukarim Kishirim. So now, if you've got a loan document, and it's written now post-dated, then it's fine. But if it's predated, then it's possible, because that's very damaging. Now you're going to be able to use it to collect against the property that you had no right to collect from, claiming that you had a predated lien predated to the sale. But in fact, it was not predated to the sale. It was a lie. And therefore, it's possible. Omer of Amnuna, well, let's make it clear what we're talking about. I mean, you're talking about a case of a loan. A loan is only damaging to a guy if it's predated. If it's postdated, it's not hurting anybody but the lender. That's true. But if we're talking about sale documents, Avashtari Mekahu Memkar, oh, no, no. It's got to be dated precisely. Even if it was dated later, it's possible. I'll explain to you why. My time. Zimnin Mazmili Arab Nissan. Let's say that a guy sells a property in Nissan and writes in it 6 months later. He writes that the date was of the sale was in the following Tishrei. So the Kativ Lay, he writes in the contract, the Shtar is Betishrei. Now what happens is that between Nissan and Tishrei, he manages to get enough money to be able to buy it back. And we generally assume that if a guy is able to get back his property, he'd like to. So he didn't take a loan, he sold it, with an understanding with the guy that let him buy it back, he bought it back. So Mizrami Lay Zuzi Beni Beni, Vizavin Lay Mini. Now comes Tishrei, and the guy says, man, I wish the guy would make up his mind. I mean, he sold me the property back in Tishrei after selling it to me first in Nissan and then buying it back and now sells it back. It's really boring, you know. But what can you do? What won't you do for a friend? Yeah, so I'll be moving in today. What? Well, here's the new contract, but I bought it back. You know, that was 3 months ago, remember? This is a new contract today, so the trucks are coming. So how's he going to protect himself against that? So then, Kimati Tishri Mafiklev, I'm going to hold I bought it from you again. Wait, if you're telling me that, so couldn't you do the same thing with Shtari Halva'a? Let's say you write a Shtari Halva'a, okay? So then we have the classic problem of the that we talked about before. You're going to borrow money in Nissan, but you're going to write the Shtar out for 6 months later in Tisha. Then you're going to get money, let's say, in between, in Tammuz. So you're going to pay him back, Uparale. And you'll say, okay, but I don't want to pay you back unless you give me the Shtar. So, Havili Shtari. The guy says, oh, gee, it's a shame, but Irkasli. But I'll write you a Shover. The Katavle Tavern, he writes a Shover. Now, the Shover, of course, is dated on today, in Tammuz. Comes Tishrei, and suddenly he magically finds his Shtar. So, Viki Mati Zimne, Mafikle. And then he'll say, but the guy will say, but I paid you, I have a shover. Well, of course, you paid me, that was for that loan. But this is a new loan. Amalei hani hashtu diyaz after me. Now, these are the things that you borrowed money from me just yesterday. So how could you therefore distinguish between a shtar chov and a shtar mecha? So what your statement makes no sense that there's a difference between the two. Well, sure it does. If you hold ein kot from shover, and then it's not a problem. So this is going in Akanami Alibit Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds ein kot from shover, and that's how I hold, says Rabbi Nuna, and that's why I said lo shanu. So lo shanu, that there's no damage, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, in a shtar mulchar, which is a shtar chov. But if it's mecha v'memkar, then we're agreed that there's damage in all directions, unless it's precisely dated. Omali Rav Yemel or Rav Kahana, some say Rav Yirmi, Rav Difti, said Rav Kahana. So I don't get, so how did the halacha evolve on this? Because now we seem to have the worst of both worlds. Because nowadays, Ha'idna, first of all, we accept a shtar mulchar, practically speaking. I mean, we know we do this all the time. So we accept a shtar mulchar, and seriously, boys, I mean, in practical terms, we always have shovrim. I mean, you made it seem like if you hold that kotvin and shover, you can't have a shtar mulchar. That's what you said, because there's no way to protect with the shover against the collection of a document that's dated later. So now I understand. How did we end up, Lamaisa, against the Sugi and the Gemara? Classic case. We always do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So out in the real world, what happened? Right. Ah, he says, look, and because you know what happened? That, what happened was that Rabbi Abba, recognizing the reality is that people lamaitza accept shovrim, and that everybody is ready to go ahead with a kshar muchar. So he told the sofrim in his beit din, look, you can write out a post-dated shtar, but you've got to make sure that it has a neon light on it, like we said before. So, ki kativu shtar muchar, if you're going to write a shtar muchar, make sure it includes the following line. Just write. This shtar was not dated accurately. It was actually post-dated. So that way, if the guy comes to collect it, somebody has a shofar, and the guy claims that he paid after this loan was made, then the shtar itself is saying you can't rely on the date on the shtar. That's all. So once that became the standard tofes of a shtar, of a loan, of a post-dated loan. So Memela is not a problem, says Rav Asher Drefkana. I'm really happy to hear about that standard form. I've never seen it. So as far as I know, people are still writing shtar a mu'uchar. I don't know of any sofrim that write that in the shtar mu'uchar. And we're still writing shovrim. And what is to prevent people from getting screwed? I don't understand. So Ha'idna, once again, bringing us back to the real world. Where those words do not appear in the post-dated shtarot. So now what? Oh, well, you see, there was another movement afterwards to protect you in a different way, which was after Rav Safra told his sofrim that whenever you write a shover, you have to take into consideration the possibility of a post-dated document. And therefore, ki kativa hani tavre, so when you write out a shover, you take a look at the case. Yadita zimna d'shtara, if you know the date of the shtar, personally, then write that date on the shover. So if the shtar is written later, you write the shover later, and that way there won't be any problem. If you don't know the date of a shtar, don't date the shover. So then you'll have a stam shover, and then whenever the guy presents the shtar, you say, well, hey, here's the shover, I paid that date. Yeah, I paid that.
Does the lender see that shover? Otherwise,
then yeah, no. Fine, so the, very nice. So if he says to the bar, he says, okay, look, you won't. That's true, by the way. This, of course, puts the lender in a terrible position if he ever lends him again. Exactly, it would only be the same amount. In other words, if he wants to protect himself, what he needs to do is make a smaller loan, where the guy would say, come on, this is a loan for $250,000 and I paid you $1 million? I mean, obviously this was a different loan, you know. You paid me, I mean, $1 million? Obviously it was a different loan. Okay. So, in that case, to call Ema Denafek Lire, whenever the guy brings out his shtar, you've got to show over it to be Moriah the shtar. So you'll be able to show Bezdin, look, the shtar is useless. Omele Ravina the Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, it was after Ravashi of Kana. You know, I understand that you've got all these safeguards. The only problem is nobody ever uses these safeguards. That's just, they use the regular shtar, they just date it, they use the regular shover, they just date it. What's going on? So, Idna lo kavdina nafi. Omar le, look, you know, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You're asking us what we need to do. We only need to provide mechanisms for people to protect themselves. If they don't want to take advantage of those mechanims, so they're mafsid on nafshayu, I mean, but we're not responsible for that. It's our responsibility to create usable instruments of commerce. We've done that. So therefore, Amalei Rabbanan Takunei Taki. The takonas are in place now. I just told you two takonas. One in terms of the writing of the shtar, and one in terms of the writing of the shover. Now, people want to be stupid. So, Man David Avid, if you're smart enough to take advantage of the takana, then fine, you will. Man Lo Avid, if you got a lousy lawyer, say, Yehuda Kanafshi Danafshi. We can't prevent people from being suckers. That we can't do. But what we can do is make it possible for someone who isn't a sucker not to suffer. And that we've done, and that's all we need to do. Velo? V'om Rav Yehuda Rav Eidim Kotvim Afilo Asara Shtarot Asadeacha. Rav Yosef Amar, that's talking about a shtar matana, without achrayas. Rabbi says even a shtar mechira, as long as it says without achrayas. Mishtar Shem b'achrayut. Anyway, yesterday's brayta, what was it all about? The Tanya, Rishayu Noshim Bo Elav Zuz, Uporamim Chabesh Mian Zuz, Eidim Mekarim Et Ashtar, V'kotvin Lo Shtar Acher, Mizman HaRishon, Div Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef Amar, Shtar Zeh Yeimunach B'mekomo, V'yechtavu Shover, Mibne Shnei Nyanim Amru Kotvim Shover. First of all, Kadesh Yakuf Leforo. And secondly, Kadesh Yigveh, Mizman HaRishon. What do you mean? Rav Yehuda also said Mizman HaRishon Kama. Well, no. Look, I don't know what you mean. You're still wrong. Because it's nowhere near as powerful a collection threat. And then you're totally wrong. So then it's ishtar mukhar. What do you mean you're posel? Yes, kishikshati, bezeikshati. Well, I should hope so. That's what we're discussing, isn't it? Rabbi Yudanami, bezeikom, I'm Rabbi, like, cool down. Akomodim. Shemizkaknula onatosha shtar. Venimpseit onatombu kovenet beshabbat, or basarabet ishtar. Any other neon light. That if it's a shtar mu'ukhar on the face of it, it's kosher. Lo nechukwal of a shtar mu'ukhar in normal circumstances. So there, Rabbi Yehuda, the time of the Yomer ain't kotvim shover, so what could go wrong? Well, nothing b'nei kurva. Rabbi Yossi, the time of the Yomer kotvim shover, and therefore we could have a big kurva, as we're going to talk about later. Omer, v'nei v'rei d'nei v'shua, well, if you Yomer kotvim shover, I mean, certainly that's hanimilei apalga, bavalakule, let him say, look, you know, I'm giving you the whole thing, give me back the shtar. But that's not true. Afil lakule katvina. Ki yoda v'yitzch bar Yossi, avimasi b'yizuzi b'nei rababa. After the cabinet of Chanina Bar Papi, I'm like, Havli Zuzai. I'm like, yay, it's sitting here. Havli Shtaroyushko Zuzcha. I'm like, look, Shtarcha Irchesli. I'm happy to write you a shover. I'm like, well, I don't have to take a shover. Ravishmon Amitavar ain't got Vim Shomer. So said to him now, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Man Yaivlan, Miafri the Ravishmon, Ramina Bay 9. But unfortunately, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the Amritav El Kotvim Shover, V'chen Kyat Ravin Amri Biloy, Kotvim Shover, Umistavra, really the Kotvim Shover, I mean, certainly Isaac Adaitach in Kotvim Shover. Are you trying to tell me in all seriousness that Ovach Torshel is a Yochal Hola V'chadi? Matkiv Labaye, if partying is the issue, so then my Kotvim Shover. Ovach Shavrosh is a Yochal Hola V'chadi. Omle Rav, that's right. In, Eved Lovel Ishmove, Tzanata, Shtarechova Mugdamim Psulim, Vamucharim Kisherim. Omer of Amnuna, that's only Shtari Halva. Ah, Vashtari Mekach Memker in any direction is possible. Afilo Mukhari, my time. Zimne Damazvile Ara, let's say in Nisan. Vekatvile Shtara Batishre. And then Misramila Zize in the middle, in Tammuz. Zavin Lemine. And then Vechimati Tishre. He's going to take out the old Shtar, which was dated Tishre. And he'll say, well, this was a new cell. Had a Zavante Minach. Yachi, can't you say that same problem in Shtari Halva? Zimne de Yazi Benisan, Kasuli Shtar Batishre, Misramin is Zizi Beni Beni, Porale, and he'll ask for the Shtar, and the guy will say Irchasli, and then he'll write him a Shover, and then Kimote Zimne, Mafikle, Vamale, Ani Ashtar, Ziaftamine, it's a new loan, just like over there, you're gonna say it's a new sale. Yeah, except that I hold in Kotvim Shover, so what's the problem? Omale Rav Yemel Rav Kahana, Vamale Rav Yemel Rav Yemel Rav Kahana, so how do you explain the fact that Aidna, we both write Shtari Ma'ukhar, and we do write a Shover? Well, Amalei Bas Damalu Rav Abba LeSafre Ki Katvitu Shtara Meuchre Ketuva Hachi. Quote: Shtara Denan Love Bezimne Katvinu Alachrinu VeKatvinu. So then there's no problem, even a little bit of Yosi. Amalei Rav Asher of Kana. Yes, but we don't do that. So Ina Delo Katvinu Hachi. So now how to explain it now? Ah, well, you see, there's the other issue. But the Amalei Rav Safre LeSafre Ki Katvitu Ani Tavre. He had to eat to zimne the shtar ktova the date of the shtar, and he lo ktova stoma that way. They call him the nafek. So then, Larry, Omer Rivil Ravashi, Ramel Ravashi Rav Kana. But even that we don't do. Well, either the look of the nafek. Omer, look, you know, we can't protect fools from themselves. It's not the U.S. government. Omer Rabbanu Takune Takine. So manda Ovid, manda lo Ovid, Yehuda Afsid, and Afshei.